Of Culture, Commissioner Saltzman. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Portland City Council Chambers. We'll gavel in here in a minute. Just a couple of housekeeping things. If you're a lobbyist, you need to declare that prior to your testimony when you sit down. And if you seek to testify, you only need to give us your first and last name. You do not need to give us your address. We do not want to know where you live, okay? All right. Portland City Council will come to order. Today is Wednesday, October 7th, 2009. This is our 9:30 morning session. Good morning, Carla.
Good morning.
Can you please call the roll?
Leonard. Fritz.
Here.
Fish.
Here.
Saltzman.
Here.
Adams.
Before we dive into our agenda, I'd like to recognize Commissioner Nick Fish for a special presentation.
Thank you, Mayor. Would Kimberly Howard from the Oregon Cultural Trust please come forward? We are celebrating a week of culture this week, and the mayor has issued a proclamation that will designate Thursday, that is tomorrow, as Oregon Day of Culture. And Kimberly, would you start by telling us what the Day of Culture is and why is it important?
The Day of Culture is celebrating basically the birthday of the Oregon Cultural Trust and a very generous tax credit that is given to you Oregonians for making contributions to culture. And basically how that works is that you support your favorite local organizations, cultural organizations. For instance, you might be a member of OPB, or maybe you're a member of the Portland Art Museum. Perhaps you are a member of the Oregon Historical Society. Those memberships count as donations to those organizations. And then the second step is to make a matching gift to the Oregon Cultural Trust. And basically, your money runs home back to you in April. That's a tax credit. It's 100%. It's just one of the sources of support that we have in the state for arts, heritage, and humanities, and it's a very important one, and we thank everyone who has supported the Oregon Cultural Trust.
So there seems to be like a triple bottom line for people here in Portland.
Yes, there is.
Continue to support whatever arts, heritage, cultural organization that you love. It could be the IFCC, it could be PEAR, it could be the Symphony, whatever you contribute to. Continue to make your contribution. By December 31st of every year, make a matching contribution to the Oregon Cultural Trust. You can do that by going online.
Yes.
That contribution comes back to you dollar for dollar as a tax credit on your state tax return.
That is exactly how it works, Nick.
It actually ends up costing you nothing to make the contribution to the Oregon Cultural Trust. That money then gets added to the endowment, which is now roughly $10 million. And then during the course of the year, that money flows back to our community as grants. And
yes.
Over the life of the trust, almost $2 million in grants has come back to Portland-based arts organizations that get funding to do their good work. So that's a pretty good leverage.
It is a very good leverage. I encourage people to use this opportunity of the Day of Culture that we're about to talk about as a way to celebrate culture, to participate by going out and getting involved, and then finally to take advantage of this generous tax credit by giving. Giving double, rewarding those organizations like Artist Repertory Theater that you love, and make that second gift to the Oregon Cultural Trust, and it comes right back to you.
If people want more information about all the events that have been coordinated statewide this week where you can get a taste of arts, heritage, and culture, where should they go?
They should go to a website we set up called OregonDayOfCulture.org, and there are links there to almost 400 events that are happening statewide. Many of those events started on October 1st. So you have today and tomorrow until midnight to celebrate culture.
One other question. Today we kicked off the city's charitable giving campaign. And one of the options we have, thanks to the mayor's leadership, is something called Work for Art, where we can have money taken out of our paycheck every 2 weeks and goes directly to support arts. Does that qualify for a matching contribution to the Oregon Cultural Trust?
It definitely does. In fact, Catherine Jackson from Work for Art and I have a new slogan that we've been going around saying, step one, donate to Work for Art. Step two, make your matching gift to the Cultural Trust. Step three, watch your money come home.
Well, thank you very much. Mayor, may I read the proclamation on
Please
your
do.
Behalf?
Please.
Mayor's given me the honor to read his proclamation. which technically declares tomorrow as Oregon Day of Culture. Whereas the month of October has been recognized as National Arts and Humanities Month by thousands of arts and cultural organizations, communities, and states across the country, as well as by the White House and Congress for more than two decades, and where October 8th marks the anniversary of Oregon's unique culture tax credit, and whereas heritage, arts, and humanities embody much of the accumulated wisdom, intellect, and imagination of humankind, and whereas heritage, arts, and humanities enhance and enrich the lives of every American, and whereas heritage, arts, and humanities play a unique role in the lives of our families, our communities, and our country, and whereas the nonprofit cultural industry also strengthens the U.S. economy by generating more than $166 billion in total economic activity annually and by supporting the equivalent of 5.7 million full-time jobs. And whereas events celebrating all these positive attributes will take place in Oregon from October 1 through October 8, 2009. Now, therefore, I, Sam Adams, Nick Fish on behalf of Sam Adams, Mayor of the City of Portland, City of Roses, do hereby proclaim Thursday, October 8, 2009, as Oregon Day of Culture, and call upon our residents to celebrate and participate in and give to Oregon culture in our community, and specifically to take action for heritage, arts, and humanities in our towns and our cities. Congratulations.
Good job.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor.
And thank you, Commissioner Fish, for your advocacy at the state level for arts and culture funding. Carla, can you please read the title for Council Communications, item number 1382?
Request of Dave Regan to address Council to request that the city cooperate with Multnomah County to reestablish poor farms.
Mr. Regan, welcome back to the City Council. Glad you're here.
Good morning. There are 20,000 people unsheltered in this metro area.
So I need you to sit down.
My name is David Regan.
Speak into the mic.
And this is a hard act to follow because I want everybody to enjoy the arts, and I'm glad for the appointment of a new director to the Labor Council, and I'm glad for a lot of food downstairs. But there are about 20,000 people without shelter in the metro area this morning, and the rainy season is upon us, and we have not yet promulgated guidelines to suspend or to find make exceptions in a reasonable time, place, manner, do no harm manner to the anti-camping ordinance. It's, as yet, in case anybody in the room doesn't know, against the law to put a covering over yourself if you're homeless. And let me point out that the average homeless person today is no longer the chronic homeless person, a drug addict or an alcoholic or a mental health problem or something. They are a working class person who was recently, up until recently, working and can no longer find work. One paycheck away from the streets, and boom, they're there, and it's still against the law to camp. Now, we're working on it. The last 4 months, I was had the privilege of attending some meetings with the Coordinating Committee to End Homelessness under Nick Fish's Bureau of Housing and Community Development. But I can tell you that a whole lot of really good ideas were left on the table and not looked at, and my understanding in talking with activists in past years is this happens every year. This is a perennial thing. Are we ashamed of poverty here? Do the homeless have to stay hidden? I know there's a lot of highbrow cocktail parties where the word is that if we allow camping, more will come. If we allow camping, they might stick around. Maybe they'll go to California. I'm sure many will leave because of the delay, and this is largely because of the office of Amanda Fritz, this delay in the promulgation of guidelines for suspension of the anti-camping ordinance. But there will be thousands who stay, and they will suffer needlessly because of this delay. And this is a delay that's been happening for years. And now at the last minute, this little, you've delegated over to agencies that say we haven't done enough surveys yet. You, come on. It's a needless delay. Because the Coordinating Committee to End Homelessness focuses on ending chronic homelessness, and we have had a huge shift in the kind of homelessness that's out there. It's working class homelessness. They don't want expensive programs and case management. They want jobs. And there's no task force, and we've been asking for a task force for 6 months that will specifically work on something on the order of setting up, allowing them to garden on idle public lands, allowing them to have workshops on idle public lands, work programs like the old WPA. The federal government's not going to come through with you. Right now, Sally Erickson, the Coordinating Committee to End Homelessness, is all happy because they're giddy. They got all this federal money. This is not going to continue. You've got to come up with a local safety net. The Coordinating Committee to End Homelessness either needs to be expanded in its mission to include helping the newly homeless, the working class homeless, or an interbureau and intergovernmental new agency needs to be set up specifically to look at work programs.
Thank you for your testimony.
Mayor, just for council's understanding, Mr. Regan.
You can return to your seat.
This council has funded 3 winter warming centers, which will be online as the weather gets worse. And we thank you for the funding and leadership you've given on that. This council increased funding for the social safety net by 30% above the base budget in this fiscal year. I thank you for your help and leadership on that. And there is
There's no comments from the gallery, sir. You've had your 3 minutes.
There, at my direction for the last 3 or 4 months, there has, in fact, been a task force looking at the camping issues. Sally Erickson has come up with 10 recommendations. We will be coming to council over the next month with some suggestions from that list. So I want you to know that there is not only focus, but momentum behind our efforts.
Thank you, Commissioner Fish. Carla, can you please read the title for council communications, item number 1383.
Request of Leo Rhodes to address council regarding homelessness, shelters, and tent cities.
Good morning, Mr. Rhodes. Welcome back. Glad you're here.
Morning, Mayor and Commissioners. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to speak with you. As you know, on my hat, I have I Love Tent City and I Love Nicholsville. These are encampments up in Seattle. I went down there a couple of Saturdays ago, unannounced. I went to Tent City 4, where homeless people there were thanking me. Well, they didn't know who I was until somebody had told them that I was the founder of Tent City 4. They thanked me, they shook my hand, and they said, thanks for having this kind of situation, giving me off the streets, giving me a chance to be a productive citizen, which was really great. It's really gratifying to know that homeless people can and will try to get off the streets if they have that opportunity. also, I met some allies, friends, and supporters of Tent City 4 that were willing to come down and talk to the council here about the support and what they had gone through. There's several different techniques that they went through that they had to change laws in order for this encampment to happen. There's one with the city of Tent City 3, City of Seattle and Tent City 3, which was consent decree with an agreement that they can have this encampment with a code of conduct. The Tent City 4, they have an encampment ordinance that spread all over in different municipalities on the east side of Seattle. And then there's a, there was another one, I can't think of it right now. But anyway, I Love Nicholsville. Nicholsville has been, you know, they just had their 1-year anniversary this past week or a couple of weekends ago, and that's why I went down there. I was also a founder of that. And where, again, individuals asked or thanked me for that, having that encampment there. Now, there's supporters on out there, like I said, you know, for these encampments. Now, they are embraced by the neighborhoods, and they are supported by the neighborhoods. Yes, we did have some battles at the beginning, which people thought there was going to be rape, pillage, and burn. But, hey, the cities are still there. It wasn't as bad as what they thought it was. Once we did get on in there, and we proved that there's homeless people that just want a safe place to sleep at night, and they will watch and over themselves and make sure that, you know, that they don't have very much problems in the neighborhood. You think about it. I mean, if you have a safe, secure place, the last thing you would want to do is mess it on up, and that's why these homeless people are like that. Also, there were certain areas that I had seen where we had camped out on the streets, under bridges, and walkways for support of more tent cities and shelter spaces. So I would encourage this council to actually go down there and talk to them. I can give you a tour of that place and also information of contact people too. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rhodes. Appreciate your testimony. Carly, can you please read the title for council communications, item number 1384.
Request of Linda McDowell to address council regarding encouraging micro-business development in Portland.
Ms. McDowell? Okay. Can you please read the title for Council Communications, item number 1385?
Request of Jane Baquette to address Council regarding horse-drawn carriages.
Good morning, Ms. Baquette. Welcome to City Council.
Thank you. My name is Jane Baquette, and I thank you very much. I'm very grateful for this opportunity to speak to each of you today. I am submitting today a list of incidents and the documentary Blinders showing that horse carriage use in city traffic is unsafe. And I submit that you cannot regulate this enough to make it safe. You cannot regulate the instincts and nature of a horse. Horses are flight animals with highly sensitive natures. Horses are not ATVs. They are living, breathing beings. People have very inaccurate understandings about horses, mostly due to the way horses are portrayed in movies. Depicted often are romantic carriage rides with wedding proposals and birthday celebrations. In reality, horses are not push-button beings with calm responses to ringing bells, people shouting, a balloon popping, skateboard sirens, construction activity, and so forth. They are flight animals, and even the most well-trained horse can spook. Any person near the horse's perceived escape route is in danger of being trampled. The riders in a carriage are vulnerable to being thrown, and carriage drivers are often thrown and injured when their carriage horse bolts in fear. Furthermore, cities are inhospitable environments for horses, not only due to the concrete, noise, traffic, and people, but there are no safe places for them to engage in natural behaviors. And even no water troughs for them. Horses require gallons of water each day, and even more so while they are working. I urge the City Council to watch the DVD submitted and research the safety issues for horses and people alike regarding horse carriage use in cities. One argument I've heard for regulations is that we can't go from no regulations at all to an all-out ban. But why not? When safety is of concern, why not? Another argument I have heard is that there have been no incidents in Portland prior to Bellator's death this past August, but no one can be sure of that. There has been no way for citizens to report concerns or for the city to record such reports. Therefore, I submit if regulations are the final decision of those involved, I strongly advocate for a highly visible license plate required on each and every carriage used in Portland, thus requiring a license. And upon such a plate, a highly visible phone number for reporting citizen concerns. This phone number should be directly answered, records taken, and responses activated as needed. I submit to you that use of horse carriages within our city is unsafe for horses, it's unsafe for people, and I urge you to address that as a public safety concern. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Really appreciate it. Carla, can you please read the title for Council Communications, item number 1386?
Request of Dave Spitzer to address Council regarding meter rates.
Good morning, Mr. Spitzer. Welcome to City Council.
Thank you. My name's Dave Spitzer. I'm a local architect and also a local building owner. It's come to my attention that the meter rates for fire meters are the same as the meter rates for commercial meters. Let me explain that a little bit. For a fire meter, for a fire sprinkler system, which the building code is starting to require in more and more buildings, eventually it may be required in even single-family houses. Now, my little building's a 3,000-square-foot commercial with three studios. It requires a sprinkler system. In the old code, it does not. The codes have changed. Sprinkler systems are being put in almost all buildings these days. The problem I see is that the charge for a meter, whether it's being used or not used, being a water meter being used every day by a commercial tenant, and a sprinkler system, which may only get used once every 50 or 60 years, that daily base charge, and this is my not complete understanding of the situation, but the daily base charge for a 4-inch meter is about $2.50 a day. So if you actually use your meter and put a real charge on the system, you are being charged $2.50 a day for the privilege of that meter, plus obviously usage. And if you have a fire meter only, you use that after 50 years' time, you are still being charged $2.50 a day. So it seems like if the city is trying to encourage people to put in sprinkler systems, that the fee structures should be such that the people that are actually using the meters should be paying most of that fee. And right now it's distributed across the board between fire meters and water meters as equal base fees for those. I know the Northwest Natural charges their fee up front to install the system. Pacific Power actually doesn't charge anything to install their system. They charge it as a monthly base once you get going. And the Water Bureau charges up front and then also a daily system. So it seems like some utilities charge once, the Water Bureau charges twice. But I guess the main point here is that if we really want buildings to be sprinkled, that the Water Bureau should work to make that less painful and not charge people a daily or monthly fee to have those meters, as the impact on the system from a fire meter is very minimal. Thank you.
David, your point is compelling. If you would mind, not mind writing me an email, I read my own emails. I'm just reiterating the salient points that you made here today. I will look into it and get back to you.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Spitzer, for your testimony. Now, if we have some special guests that would like to say a few words, if Commissioners Mullis and Will Hoyt would please come forward. Apparently, you're here to beg to be let out of your commitment to be reappointed to the Portland Development Commission. Is that true?
Well, when you said special guests, I knew that wasn't us, but I'm surprised to be here now.
Welcome.
Well, good morning, Mayor Adams, Commissioners. This is an unusual appearance in the fact that we're not here to ask for anything or promote any agenda item. Commissioner Mullis and I, sitting on the commission, talk regularly, and we thought it was good for us and for the public to come into you today and to thank you for reappointment. We're often asked how much we get paid to be a commissioners, and of course we chuckle, and I always tell people that ask me that, well, it depends on how you define paid or compensation. I said, we have the privilege and honor of working for a city that we love to live in and we love to work in. And our pay truly is the fact that we get to play a direct role in developing both the physical appearance of this city and the economic outlook for this city, and that's quite an honor. And it's not something that many people have the opportunity to do. So I have thoroughly enjoyed working on the commission, working with each of you. I've sat in scary budget meetings with Commissioner Leonard. I've sat in budget meetings with Mayor Adams and Mayor Saltzman.
Mine were scary.
Oh, yeah.
Just say yes. That's right.
Sat on a recent search committee with Commissioner Fritz and, of course, worked in transitioning the housing function from PDC to the Portland Housing Bureau with Commissioner Fish. So I can sit here and say, when people ask if our council is working for the city, without a doubt. And while everyone might not agree with every step you take, I tell people, look at the passion and look at the commitment. And we all know we're working towards the same objective, the most livable, economically advanced city in the country. And we are fortunate to live here. I'm fortunate to live and serve the city here, and I just once again want to thank you and look forward to working with you going forward.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Good morning, Mayor Adams, Commissioners. I know you have a very busy agenda this morning. I would like to make just a few brief comments. I would like to thank you as well for being reappointed last June, especially on a consent agenda. It's truly an honor to serve the city, and Charles spoke very eloquently to the efforts that we bring forward with the PDC and trying to work with you folks to make Portland, which is already a great city, even better. So it's truly an honor to serve. I hope my next remark is taken in the context in which it is intended, and that is true respect. I'm sure you all appreciate the efforts that Charles Wilhoit brought forth during his year as the chair of the PDC. But I don't know if you really fully appreciate the efforts that he put in that year. Very difficult year, global financial collapse, the River District lawsuit, the Portland Housing Bureau transition, and many other items too numerous to mention. And I can't speak highly enough of the honesty, the integrity that he brings to the city or to the table, the dedication that he feels for all of the city and all of the citizens and all of its neighborhoods. And one last remark. I've been really pleased to have been a small part of some of the PDC efforts over the last 3 years that I feel very positive about. And I'd like to mention just one briefly, and that's the collaborative relationship between the mayor and the city council and the PDC's board of commissioners. Especially in these very difficult times, all of the citizens truly deserve our best collective and collaborative efforts. So thank you very much. It's an honor and a privilege to serve.
Well, and I didn't know Commissioner Mullis was going to say all of that about me. So,
I call him like I see him.
Well, before we leave, though, we've heard people come up and talk about homelessness, and we've talked about that issue time and time again. Unfortunately, it's an issue we've been living with for years and years. But it's important for people to know that this council sitting in front of me pushes PDC every step of the way with regard to the investing of dollars to address homelessness. And we're looking at creating jobs, economic advancement, but there's always a human element, and that's part of the equation in every decision we make. And the Resource Access Center, thanks to you, is moving forward, and people need to be aware of things like that. And our budget for the next fiscal year is roughly 50% or more committed towards housing, much of that being affordable housing, Section 8 housing in the South Park District. So those issues are in front of us. People need to be aware that we do have limited resources, but each of you is making it clear to me and to the rest of the commission what your goals and desires are, and we hear it loud and clear, and we hope we're moving in the right direction, and I think we are. So you do have the support of the commission, as Commissioner Mullis indicated. We have a new chair in Chair Andrews, who is a wonderful chair. We are looking at economic advancement, economic development, creation of jobs, but housing and issues affecting human life are always on the agenda, and they're always in our decision-making. So I just wanted to say that out loud.
And Commissioner Fish?
I'd like to thank both of you for your service and acknowledge that in December, the mayor and I made your job twice as hard when we shared with you the vision of creating a new bureau. And I think there's a reason why city council doesn't regularly create new bureaus. It is mind-numbingly challenging and difficult, and we're continuing to work through some very complicated issues, but we could not have a better partner in this enterprise. And we're on task. We're on track. We will be cutting the ribbon on the new space in November. We would not be where we are today without your full participation, your cooperation, and your help. So I want to thank you very much for that. And the ultimate winners in this reorganization are going to be the citizens of Portland when this new bureau is up and running and delivering on the promise that we have made. So thank you for that. Thank you for your steadfast support for the Resource Access Center. If there's the equivalent of the perils of Pauline in the housing world, this would be the Resource Access Center. And the backstory is that it really should not be built. There have been so many obstacles and so many legal complications. But we will be breaking ground in October, again, because of your focus and your dedication to this project. And finally, I just want to acknowledge that on top of your public service work, John, you're a pretty good softball player. And I had the pleasure of playing softball against John and the new chair out in Lentz Park at Walker Stadium. But I came away from that realizing we need some reinforcements. So I think next year I'm going to prevail on my colleagues to come out and help us out.
Oh, you want to put a new ball stadium there?
We are not. We are.
Is that what you'd like to do?
It's the wrong stadium.
We are not taking that defeat lightly. So anyway, thank you.
You're just going on and on and on and on.
Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Commissioner Leonard.
I feel compelled to express the state of my relationship with PDC at this point. But I want to do it in a historical perspective, as only Commissioner Saltzman would appreciate, being the only member of the council that was here when I arrived in 2002. My very first act on the council was to pull from consent agenda a tax abatement proposed by PDC for a apartment building that had been built in the Pearl. And I challenged the wisdom of subsidizing apartments at taxpayer expenses that rented for as much as $3,000 a month. And I'm sure Dan doesn't remember this, but after my exchange with the PDC staff in December of 2002 on that subject, we walked out and Dan looked at me and said, "You have arrived." And do you remember that?
I don't remember.
Yeah. And And I thought, well, I guess I suppose I have. And frankly, from that point, for the next few years on, my relationship with the PDC deteriorated to the point of actually me filing a resolution in 2004 subpoenaing documents from the PDC, which fortunately did not have to actually be followed through with, that being the low point. From then till now, I am happy to sit here and say that the relationship that I believe, not just I, but the council enjoys and the public enjoys with the PDC couldn't be more dramatically different. And it is frankly due, Charles, a lot to you and your leadership, and certainly John coming and bringing a perspective that I have long felt needed to be part of the decision-making processes have been helpful. But, Charles, I can't underestimate the cultural change that occurred when you became chair. I dealt with people there that treated me as the enemy when I was doing nothing more than trying to protect who I think it is that pays all of our salaries, the taxpayers of the city. And I was unrelenting, as you know, about that. And I have no apologies for that. But I do think that in fairness, it needs to be said, and I didn't know you would be here this morning, and I did not know that we would have the opportunity to have this exchange. But I could not be more pleased with the current state of my relationship and thus the taxpayers' relationship with the Portland Development Commission, your partnership with us, your openness to discuss with us issues, and I check in ways that you may not be aware. I talk with our city attorney, Linda Meng, as you know. I was hell-bent on having our attorney be your attorney for a while, agreed to cooperate and find a middle ground, and she reports to me that the relationship could not be better between the PDC's attorney and ours. I will continue checking. As Ronald Reagan said, trust but verify. And I do that, but I know that it's a testament to not only both of your memberships, but now we have Scott on the PDC as well, who brings with him another fresh perspective, but also reflects the current culture that both of you have brought, but particularly Charles, you. And I want you to know that I know that, and I appreciate it, and I realize
the way of the three-minute time limit for Commissioner Leonard.
Of all the people in the room, of all the people in the room to say anything about anybody talking, you are the last person. You have no credibility on the subject.
To, speak of this.
All right, gentlemen, your points of summary, Commissioner Leonard.
Very good. You've got Veronica to clap.
Veronica.
Anything you'd like to add by closing?
But thank you again for your hard work. I probably know more than most realize what it is you've done. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much.
Give him a round of applause, folks. Thank you.
Very humbling. Not why I came here today. I came to thank you, but definitely appreciate those comments, and that means a lot to me.
Thank you.
But we have a great staff, and we have a great commission, and we work together very well.
Thank you both for your continuing service.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. That gets us to the time certain at 9:30. Carla, can you please read the title for time certain item number 1387?
Did you want to do the consent agenda first?
No. Yes, go ahead and do the consent agenda. Anyone wish to pull any items off the consent agenda?
1397.
1397 is pulled to regular. Anything else? All right. Would you please call the votes for the consent agenda?
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Consent agenda is approved. Now, may we read the title for time certain, item number 1387.
Proclaim October 10th, 2009, to be Judy O'Connor Day in Portland.
So, because of a change in pension rules, the individual that we are going to be honoring next proceeded to retirement in a far too rapid fashion for us to honor her before she actually had retired. But better late than never. And if Judy O'Connor would please come forward. Sit right here. I've worked with a lot of folks in my,
20-some years of public service, I've had the privilege to work with a lot of folks from all facets of society. And the person before us today stands out as someone of great passion, a really big brain, very smart, and a sense of humor that allows her to, the combination of which those three allows her to be incredibly effective for working people in this region and for those that are struggling to get family wage work. And so I want to read the proclamation that is supported by every member of council in honoring Judy O'Connor, who is the first woman to be elected secretary treasurer. And for those of you watching, that's like the top dog to the Northwest Oregon Labor Council.
In a male-dominated world.
In a male-dominated world. She was elected secretary treasurer in 1998 and re-elected, again, the first woman, re-elected to that post for three additional tenure. Judy O'Connor advanced and promoted the presence of labor in the city of Portland as secretary treasurer of the Northwest Oregon Labor Council. Judy O'Connor conveyed a clear voice of labor as the union representative on numerous boards, committees, task force in the city of Portland. And if we were to calculate your salary based on the amount of hours that you put into the job, an incredibly small salary indeed. Whereas Judy O'Connor is leaving the Northwest Oregon Labor Council to the sweet serenity of retirement. Now, therefore, I, Sam Adams, Mayor of the City of Portland, Oregon, the City of Roses, do hereby proclaim today to be Judy O'Connor Day in Portland and encourage all residents to observe this day. Congratulations. Would you like to say a few words? And then there are some people that would like to come up and say a few words as well.
Wow. Well, those of you that know me know that normally I'm not at a loss for words. And those of you that know me know I'm not about me. So today it was hard to drive here today because I like to honor other people. I'm very humbled. Thank you for the kind words. But you know, I've had a 27-plus ride of being a member of organized labor. And if I hadn't been a member of organized labor, I wouldn't be retiring now. And it's because of my labor family, and I want to thank so many of them that are here today. I love all of them. I have worked so well with each one of you, and you have been such good supports of the Northwest Oregon Labor Council. Our meetings that we started over 5 years ago, where we kind of invite you to attend, we don't ask you if it fits in with your agenda, we just say this is when we want to meet and be there. And if you don't show up, we talk about you. And then if you're so fortunate enough that when your rotation schedule you come again, we tell you what we said. I have no hidden agenda, so I don't have a problem telling you what we said about you if you couldn't be there. But, you know, putting that aside, I have great respect for each one of you. You each play such an important role in Portland, not only just in the politics, because you're each a politician, but in affecting the lives of everyone who lives in the city of Portland. And by what you do and the examples that you set, that helps the state of Oregon. And it also helps other states look in. And you know, as I retire and as I move out of the state of Oregon into the state of Montana, I am going to be, like Randy said, he likes to check in. Well, I'm going to check in too. And I have my ways of checking in. And I want each one of you to continue to make me so proud of what you each do now and that you continue to do what you do, because I'm going to follow your paths. And if you do something that I don't like, I'm going to haunt you in several ways. So I just want to say thank you, and I am thank you.
You're welcome. So if you want to...
Before she leaves, can we?
We have some testimony.
Was that no?
We're going to take the testimony first because they've been waiting. Then we'll have a chance to... I think we've had a lot of chance to talk up here, so if you could return to your seat. Those of you that would like to testify in this matter, if you would please come forward now.
You let Nick talk whenever he wants.
I know.
And he goes on and on and on and on.
Do we have anyone signed up to testify?
Say one nice little thing about Judy, and I can't
okay,
say.
So I'm going to... If we could have some folks in the back row there come on up to testify and say a few words. Yes?
They're afraid to now.
All these people here.
Here we go. Come on up, Jim.
I'm not signed up, but...
That's right. You don't have to be signed up
to
testify.
I'm going to talk anyhow. So.
You're Joe Esmond. You get to do what you want.
The pot calling the kettle black.
Good morning. My name is... Judge Joe Esmond. I reside at 3558 Southwest Hume Street, Portland, Oregon. I am a business rep for the IBW Local 48, representing just roughly 4,000 members in the metropolitan area. She's great. She's been a, you've said it, other people have said it. I'm going to say it again. She's been a rock solid person for our union. I'll just speak for my union and our men and women of our union. Like you said, Sam, Mr. Mayor, how many hours she has spent? Probably be like a buck an hour that she over the years. If we needed something done at the IBW, we couldn't handle ourselves. Hey Judy, can you be here? Hey Judy, can you make a call for us? There's something going on over here. So I just want to say very briefly how much we're going to miss her. She has a great successor, but he's got some big shoes or high heels to fill. Thank you for doing this for Ms. O'Connor from Organized Labor. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, Joe. Anyone else wish to come up and testify? Say nice words about you. Come on up, sir.
Thank you. My name is Bob Tackett. I'm the person who gets to try to fill those shoes. And I just want to say what an honor it is to follow Judy in this position and thank her for what she's done over the years. She's made this job very easy for me. It's going to be tough to go forward, for sure, to try to improve on what she's already accomplished. But it is a great honor, and I do truly appreciate everything that Judy has done for labor and for me personally. Thank you for the opportunity.
Look forward to working with you.
Thanks, sir.
All right. Now we... Oh, good. We've got more coming up.
I'm not registered, but...
That's okay.
My name is Terry Lansing. I am the elected secretary-treasurer of the Bakery, Confectionery, Tobacco Workers, and Grain Millers Union. Our members are the people who make the good bread you eat every day, plus decorate the cakes that you buy for your parties. I wasn't prepared to say anything, but I wouldn't want to miss the opportunity to say thank you to Judy on behalf of all of our members. Judy has been an outstanding leader for the working people of Oregon, particularly for our members, in standing up for justice. And that is her key inner thing. She stands for justice. And I would not want to miss the opportunity to say thank you to Judy for all of that and for working hard to get the right people elected. And I appreciate what you guys do, and I appreciate how you serve the people of Portland. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anybody else coming up? You can have three come up at a time. Coming up, no, three at a time. We'll take three at a time. Anybody else? This will be our last round. John? Good morning. Welcome to City Council. Glad you're here.
My name is Shannon Walker, and I wasn't prepared to say anything, but I did want to come up and say thank you to Judy. I actually entered the labor movement here in Portland about 9 years ago, and one of my first contacts was Judy O'Connor. She was so grateful to teach me about the union movement, how to get involved with the labor movement. I'm now president of the Clark-Skamania West Klickitat Labor Council over on the other side of the river, and I wouldn't be here today without Judy. I never had a sister, but I love Judy dearly, and she is definitely my sister. Thank you, Judy.
Good morning, Mayor, Commissioners. I'm Robert Petroff, President of the Northwest Oregon Labor Council and the Directing Business Representative for the Machinists Union. It's been an honor and a pleasure to have served with Judy over all the years. I've been president for 10 years now. I want to say thank you to you, Mayor, and Commissioners, for proclaiming this day on behalf of Judy. It was well-deserved, and it's an honor she'll remember for the rest of her life, and it will be memorialized in history. Thank you for that.
Thanks for your service as well.
Good morning. John Mullis, Columbia Pacific Building Trades Council. There's already many individuals that have spoke very highly of Judy and all the hard work and dedication that she's brought to the table for so many years. But on behalf of all the members of the Building Trades Council, I do want to thank Judy. She's been a great stalwart and ally of the building trades, a great friend, and I can only wish her and her husband a long and healthy and happy retirement. And I would like to also thank all of you for honoring her today. Thank you very much.
Thank you all very much. Now we're going to take a quick picture. Judy, if you'd come up, and council come around the dais. And you too, then you get a talk.
Do I get to?
You're very kind. Thank you.
Thank you for calling me kind.
I wasn't talking. And I just want to thank Commissioner Leonard for waiving his request to comment. That's very nice of him.
Well, Commissioner Fish will steal my time, so I want to.
Okay, go ahead, sure, Commissioner Leonard.
Well, I've known Judy so long that that Joe Esmond, David Schaff, and I had a full head of hair when I first met her.
Oh, wow.
So that's, I don't even want to go. I don't even want to go there. But I was the in the mid 80s, the youngest president that the Portland Firefighters Association had ever elected. And of course, my first stop was at the Northwest Oregon Labor Council, where Judy was not the president, but she worked in the front office. But I can't even tell you who the president was then, because my contact was Judy O'Connor. And Judy has I think it's appropriate for me to say I've had nobody that has supported me as consistently, including the Firefighters Union, as Judy O'Connor has throughout my political career. And I know that, and I've always known that. And I've always appreciated that, and that's why I show up at those ungodly hours in the morning when you ask me to be there. Sorry, I now have an out. I'm sure you're going to be great, but it's only Judy that gets me there that early. So I am just so happy for you and have been so blessed to have you as a part of my life. And I just from the bottom of my heart, I just can't say enough good about you and what you've done for labor and what you've done for me personally. Thank you, Judy.
Randy, may I just piggyback off of one
point?
Please. You and I had an offline conversation about Judy. I just want to just share the element. And it based on a shared experience that we've had, you were a labor leader for many years, and I had the privilege of representing some labor unions. And what you commented to me was that the secret of success of a labor leader is the ability to build relationships with people. And what I have learned in my first year here is that there are some people who only come to council when they want something.
Right.
When there are bad times, they're nowhere to be seen.
Yeah.
So what you also shared with me is that the secret is to be there in good times and bad times. Build the relationship and be there in good times and bad times. Each of us have a Judy O'Connor story around that, around the relationship she built, the fact that she was there with us during good times and bad times. And that's why each of us go out of our way to be responsive whenever Judy calls or says that she has an issue of concern. And I think that's a model of how to engage with government generally in this council. And all I want to add to what's been said is that we do love you very much. and we will miss you.
I would just like to add my accolades to working with Judy O'Connor over the many years. I think the breakfast that you started, the mandatory breakfast, I didn't understand. I didn't understand until today if we don't show up. Fortunately, I have a perfect attendance record, but I didn't understand if we don't show up, we get talked about and then filled in later. So that'll make sure my attendance record remains at 100%. But no, Judy's been a true leader and a true friend to me over the many years, and I've really appreciated all of her advice and her energy and her commitment to organized labor. And it's definitely, you know, exudes from Judy, her passion for organized labor and workers' rights. And I'm very honored to have had a time to work with you. And I look forward to you keeping in touch with us or in whatever manner that's going to be, haunting us. But it'll be good to hear from you, even if it's not in the best way. But I hope you have a great, great time in Montana, and we will miss you very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Judy, for all of your work and leadership in the community and in the labor movement. And the Northwest Labor Council members picketed with me for 56 days on the strike at OHSU and the Mighty Mighty Nurses there and helped us understand how the labor movement sticks together. And I think your comment about you have a pension because you've been in the union for all these years bears repeating. The unions are the people who bought America the weekend. We help set the standards, and in states where we have a good labor movement, all benefits for workers are better, whether you're in a union or not. And so that's part of what you have helped do in our community is set standards and set expectations. And I think the only surprise when I had my staff research your past for this event was to find out that you're eligible for retirement. That doesn't seem possible, and I wish you a happy one. My father tells me that he's way busier now than he ever was when he was working, so I expect that you will indeed stay engaged, and I wish you all the best.
Thank you very much. So you're welcome to stay and witness more democracy happen, or we will not be offended if you need to get on with your workday. Thank you for being here, and thank you, Judy. Can you please read the title for the 10 o'clock time certain? It's a it's the first hearing of a regular ordinance, 1388.
Assess benefited properties for street and other improvements in the Portland Mall Revitalization Project Local Improvement District.
If Teresa Boyle from the Bureau of Transportation, Chair Scott Andrews, Scott Andrews representing Portland Mall Management today, and Doug Oblitz from Shields and Oblitz, the project manager for the mall management, come forward as well. I was pleased on behalf of the City of Portland to help inaugurate the new Green Line on the expanded Portland Mall on September 12, 2009. This project was delivered on time and on budget, thanks to a collaborative effort between a lot of agencies, but primarily TriMet. Our great Bureau of Transportation, who lead on this project, has been Teresa Boyle. Thank you. And also the private sector through Portland Mall Management. The resources, the public side resources for this project were matched by approximately $1.5 billion in private investments in the core of downtown over the past 5 years. And although not well known, one reason I was pleased that we have this on the agenda is to bring more attention to the fact that part of the funding package included $22 million from area property owners. Today we have we seek to finish finalizing the LID, Local Improvement District, and we have an amendment offered on behalf of myself and Commissioner Fish. And who would like to begin?
I'm Teresa Boyle with the City of Portland's Bureau of Transportation, and I'm the City's Light Rail Project Manager. I actually do not have a formal presentation to make this morning, but I'm here to answer any questions you may have about the LID. Thank you.
Maybe, if it's okay with Council, maybe we can get the dispense with the amendment. And the amendment takes out of the LID some nonprofits. And do you want to speak to the amendment?
Certainly. The Local Improvement District assessment excludes qualified low-income housing and exempts them from assessment. We had a process by which the low-income housing providers would apply for that exemption. Two property owners did not apply within the time frame, and so when they received their notice of final assessment, proposed final assessment, they requested that they be granted the exemption. And so the amendment to the ordinance that's before you today acknowledges and accepts those requests and directs us to make the changes to zero out those assessments.
Mayor, I'm prepared to second the amendment and just speak very briefly to it.
Please go ahead.
This would exempt the Jeffrey Apartments and Fifth Avenue Commons from the assessment. The two properties combined offer 150 units of affordable housing in downtown. And in terms of the impact of exempting these two properties, since the mayor and I were interested, what's the impact on other property owners if you exempt affordable housing? The other property owners' assessment will increase by less than 0.5% per $1,000 in real market value. That means a $4.28 increase per $1 million of property. So it's a minimal impact, and these two properties would have been eligible had they met the deadline. So I second the mayor's amendment.
It's been moved and seconded. Is there any additional discussion on the proposed amendment? Anyone wish to testify on the proposed amendment? Carla, would you please call the vote on the proposed amendment?
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Since these changes are not substantial and they are otherwise eligible for the abatement, I vote aye. Excuse me, the exemption, I vote aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Thanks to Commissioner Fish for his advocacy in this area. So would you like to speak to the amended matter before us?
Good morning, Mayor, Commissioners. I'm Scott Andrews, and I'm wearing my Portland Mall Management, Inc. president hat today, although it was fun to be here to see the pats on the back from the PDC side. I also really enjoy the opportunity to chair that and to work with you trying to get some projects going in Portland. Anyway, I'm going to talk very briefly about the business community's participation in the refurbishment of the mall and light rail and the kind of leverage that we have seen the public and private partnership return. The downtown business community was very supportive of this project from the very beginning, especially because it included revitalizing the mall, because the mall itself had become tired and needed repair. It was no longer the asset that everybody wanted it to be and the asset that it was when it was built over 20 years ago. Together, the project partners and the business community fulfilled the promise of the renaissance of the heart of our city. As the mayor said, there have been over $1.5 billion worth of projects completed downtown in the last 5 years, and I believe there's a direct relationship between the Green Line and mall renovation and these projects. Tad Savinar's Block by Block program alone produced 38 projects on the mall with over $8.8 million invested and leverage of $5 to $13 for every public dollar spent. We also taxed ourselves as part of this process an additional $3 million and in collaboration with the city and TriMet assured that the mall finishes met everyone's expectations. And I would remind you that the PMMI folks, we led that effort, and when it became before you to tax ourselves an additional $3 million, there was not one person who testified against it. TriMet, the city, and the business community have also come to understand that ongoing stewardship is necessary to make the most of this investment. And that's why Portland Mall Management, Inc. was formed, to bring coordination and supervision of the cleaning, maintenance, and security on the mall and Cross Mall to ensure that the mall continues at all it can be for downtown and the Portland region. I think that you have seen already a major change in terms of the Cross Mall. We became responsible as of the 1st of July of this year for cleaning and maintenance, and frankly, it was pretty tired. We're catching up on years of neglect, but it's looking better. And given that TriMet got some stimulus dollars to fix the intersections, the break intersections there, the Cross Mall is really looking much better. So.